and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Good morning, Jefferson. Hopefully you're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I am here today with a good friend of mine, and Terry's out on assignment. So hopefully he gets his assignment accomplished and gets back here and can do some reporting to us.
And in the meantime, I get to be Terry.
Mrs. Chandler is here to hang out with us. How are you doing, Janet?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good, good. We're going to have fun today. We always have fun.
We always have fun. Anytime Jefferson is involved, it's fun.
It's fun. It's fun. First off, I want to thank Travis. Travis, thanks for manning the helm there for us, buddy.
Oh, you're welcome. Good morning, everyone.
And Frankie for being Sergeant at Arms. He does that very well, very proficient, and takes it seriously, as we all should. Thank you, Frankie. Okay, I want to thank everybody from – we had a fundraiser last night for the recall. For in case you haven't heard, there is a recall here in Shasta County for three of our elected Board of Supervisors. And it's time to clean house. So we have a bunch of patriots out there doing a lot of work, and they are too numerous to mention. But I just want to thank everybody that was involved with the recall event last night. It was a fundraiser, held down at the Veterans Hall down in Anderson and at the VFW. And we had a great meal that was donated by Dill's Deli. Mike and Jessica Dill are rock stars. They are the ones who donated that the first time around, and again the second time around. That's their contribution to the cause. And without them, we could not do this. And I want a special thank you to them as well. And go support their business here in town up on Caterpillar, Dill's Deli. They're good people doing the right thing, standing up for patriotism and what's right. And so thank you again to Mike and Jessica for all your work and your team. Your whole team out there working and getting everything done. We had an event down in Anderson, like I was talking about. A lot of really good people pulling it all together, you know, doing the decorations and the flowers and, you know, all the stuff that happens to come together for putting such an event on. The donations of all the goodies that were part of the auction. We had a silent auction, we had a live auction, and then we had a dessert auction, which was awesome. And I think that was the most we'd ever earned on a dessert auction in the past, from what we've done over the past few years. And there are some pretty cool desserts there that were very artistic. People are pretty savvy on creating these little desserts. And we had a lot of really good patriots there, some older gentlemen, you know, in their 90s doing their thing, out there having a great time, jacking up the bids and taking them, and they're doing a good job. We had guns won, and it was really fun. It was a good event by all, a lot of hard work. We had a bunch of runners with the in an auction. You have runners running back and forth collecting signature, making sure we're getting all the data correctly, getting the finances squared away, all that kind of stuff, and hats off to all them. They were doing a stellar job. And we had some youth, young people. And when I'm talking young, I'm talking barely teenagers, you know, 12 to 14 that were 15 years old that were out there helping, too, with the setup and also running of the event. And appreciate them and their parents. You know, they're teaching them right, showing them how to grow up and do the right thing. So hats off to those families that were there doing that as well. It was fun. We had a good time. Got out of there probably about 10:30, something like that. So everybody got to go home and put their feet up. It was good.
And every time we have an event like that, it shows the support of the people, and it shows that it's okay to belong to this revolt that we're having.
Absolutely.
You're not alone.
And you know what? There were a lot of new faces there that I hadn't seen from the previous event and from other events as well. So it's definitely growing. So for people that think it's not growing here in Shasta County, they are wrong. And this is just a microcosm of the entire county. So not everybody that's supports what's going on is able to attend events like this for various reasons. Maybe they don't, maybe they live up the hill somewhere and they don't want to drive in the evening, or maybe they just can't afford to do it, but they can certainly give support in doing other things, you know, collecting signatures or what have you, but they don't have the money to pay for a dinner and do the auction part of it. That's fine. That's okay. That's great. That, we need all parts and all facets to make this work. And I think that all the people that were there doing their part and the people that weren't there, you know, that were supporting behind the scenes, thank you, and we truly appreciate it.
I think that for so long, conservatives and people who are not in favor of government taking over our lives, we have been told not to say anything. You will be shut down. You will be ridiculed. You will be demonized. And we're through. We're through with that restriction on our lives. It's time for us to stand up and say, I don't care what you call me. I don't care how you try to stop me. I am going to say what's right, and I am going to do what's right for my county, my state, my federal government. It's time to fight.
Amen. And I think we all need to put that in perspective, too. Where do you want to be in 2 to 5 years? Did you think 2 to 5 years ago you would be in this position? Did any of us think we'd be in this position?
We couldn't even imagine where we are now.
It
was so antithetical to our entire way of life. And we'll never go back to how it was in 2019, 2018. That will never happen. We're not going to see that life again, but that's okay. It wasn't as rosy as we may look back and think it was. Now we have an opportunity to improve our situation, to make things truly better, because the only option to that is to have them become terribly worse.
Which is scary on all ends.
Oh, very scary.
Well, I believe you're right. We won't go back to those times, and the reason we won't go back to those times is because we're not naive anymore. We're not ignorant anymore.
Yes. There was a quotation from a newscaster at the time of President John Kennedy's assassination, and someone said to her, oh, this is so terrible. This is so sad. We'll never laugh again. And she said, oh, yes, we will laugh again. It's just that we will never be young again. And I think that's where we are now. We are no longer going to be young, naive, and gullible. We have grown up as a nation. We have seen what terrible things can be in store for us if we do not stand up and fight against tyranny. It's our time, and we need to pick up the baton and start running our leg of the relay race.
Amen. Well put. I like that. It's a good analogy. Oh, also, too, last night we had there was a mailer that just went out this week. If it hasn't hit your mailbox, if you're living in District 2, if it hasn't hit your mailbox yet, it certainly will be. it was part of the tabletop decoration last night. Actually, there was one of these postcards that are 8.5 by 11, and they're mailer for District 2 residents at this point because it's all about Leonard Modi, and he's the supervisor for District 2. So guess what? There's a flyer that looks like a newspaper headline, and it's got a story on there, which is actually fact. So it's not baloney. It's not garbage. It's fact. So it's got all kinds of good information on front and back, and, you know, you can call, get a hold of Recall Shasta and check and see their website and see what information they have as well. But these were all on the tables last night. Somebody went out and just laid them out on the tables because it went very nicely because the flowers that we had were yellow, green, and white. There was, you know, there was a real pretty mixture out there, you know, kind of like Jefferson colors. And that's exactly what I thought it was when I saw that. This flyer went very well with that because of the neutral color on the front with a little bit of yellow. And then on the back side is totally yellow.
Well,
so
it's
blended.
Just a placemat size.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Perfect. So you can read about the story, the history of what's going on here, what has happened with, you know, one of our current supervisors and, you know, what happens, you know, when, you know, grand jury finds you guilty. What happens? I don't know. Do they have any teeth? I don't know.
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing happens.
No. They just tell the story, and then it's up to you, the wisdom of your mind, making sure that you're doing your due diligence, do some digging, find out what's going on with the grand jury. Would they release something that wasn't true or factual? I dare say they wouldn't.
We would hope not.
I would hope not. Yeah, because they're citizens just like you and I.
With the level of corruption in the county, we question everything now. But I would assume that the grand jury, with having as many people involved as possible, are not going to censure or ask for the censure of a Board of Supervisors member if something didn't actually happen.
Correct. Yeah, and then, you know, then it's about malfeasance, misfeasance, and so forth, you know, and then the penalties that go with each and or lack thereof of penalties that go with each. So you have to read it. You have to find out what's going on. Do your homework. Do some digging and see what's really going on out there. And that's just one of our board of supervisors. We have three, remember? We're recalling three. But this is the first one. It's being laid out. So it's part of the process, and people may or may not like it. You know, to each his own, but go ahead and just read it and get informed and don't make opinions and decisions until you've been informed, because that's the worst thing you can do for yourself, your family, and your neighbors. That's the worst thing you can do. You want to get informed before you make any opinions on anything. So do your homework and do it right.
What we really are trying to do here is hold our employees accountable for what they are doing wrong and the omissions in what they should be doing. If you don't support a recall, at least support accountability. Start going to the Board of Supervisors meetings. Find out what they are doing. Find out why there are so many people in favor of a recall. It's your job, and here it is. Here is your opportunity to practice term limits. We always hear, oh, we need term limits. You've got term limits. You've always had term limits. It's called go to the ballot box and vote the bums out.
Yeah, don't just vote party line and or incumbent. You have to make sure if that incumbent is doing a good job and you agree with what they're doing 100% or mostly, then you go ahead and choose to vote for them. But if you're just voting just for the sake of voting because there's a particular letter by their name, then you're actually doing more of a disservice to the election than they are.
And the Board of Supervisors is nonpartisan. Technically, I don't even know what political party these people belong to, and it doesn't matter, because whether I'm American Freedom Party, Communist, Socialist, Democrat, Republican, whatever party I belong to, our Board of Supervisors are not doing their job.
That's right. And
party doesn't matter.
Well, and two, you know, if any of us are working and we're not doing our job, what do we expect out of that? What kind of a result would we expect from that? Termination, maybe?
Yes.
At the very least, maybe a good reprimand.
I think what bothers me the most about this whole process that we're going through is the total lack of insight of the three members that we are trying to recall. They simply don't get it. They are bewildered as to why we would want to recall them. They don't understand that we in the county are more interested in having those supervisors protect our rights than we are in having them get money from Sacramento. And that seems to be the only basis on which they're having us evaluate them. Well, we got you lots of money. We have this program and that program. There is, I live in the Intermountain area, up in Bernie, Fall River area, and there is a local newspaper, the Intermountain News, and Mary Rickert has a column every week in the Intermountain News, and it is full of the meetings that she has attended, the boards that she is participating on, the conferences that she is part of. That seems to be the only basis on which she is evaluating herself, is how many boards and meetings and conferences she can participate in. I am not interested in how many meetings she goes to. I am interested in how well she is protecting my rights.
Well, and two, if she's involved in all these meetings, how is she doing a good job for the county who elected her?
Oh, I'm sure that she will tell you how busy she is, and that's the gauge of her devotion to her job.
Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're productive.
That's right.
And you're not doing the right thing. So I would much rather have somebody who the only thing that they're going to be doing is working on the county, on being a good, solid, quality Board of Supervisor. That's their focus. That's their primary focus. That's what they're going to be doing. They're taking it seriously as a job, as they should, because it is a job, and they need to treat it as such and do a good job and have good reports from all the things that they're supposed to be doing within that job and make sure that everything is moving forward. And if it's not moving forward, find out why and see what they can do to help in aiding the fix on that.
I do not want a supervisor whose main goal is to get money to finance her pet projects.
Yes.
And that is one of the things that has really bothered me. She will do anything to get money from Sacramento. She will follow unconstitutional mandates given down by the governor. But she does it so she will get money for health, mental health, homeless. And that she was honest when she was elected in 2016. That was her goal, was to finance and get programs and a lot of support for mentally ill and homeless projects.
Why not use the money that our county should be having a budget for? And do they not sit down, do the Board of Supervisors not sit down and go through it line item by line item and, you know, 86 certain things that they see are absolute loser duds on their lines and support those things that are absolutely necessary that are good for the maintenance of our county? And when I talk about maintenance, I'm talking about making sure we have adequate roads, the health and safety of our community. And when I'm talking about health and safety, I'm talking about law enforcement. So how do they do that? It's not just growing our government by getting more money out of Sacramento. That's not what they are there to do, and nor should they do that at all. If anything, we should be downsizing our local government in a big way, because everything we have is redundant. I mean, you have departments within the county building downtown that are redundant. One office will work on a certain aspect of whatever the project might be, and they'll carry it to a certain point and then pass the baton to another department electronically. And then that department takes it and runs with it. And by the time you get from the very first start of this project, if you will, to the very end of it, all the stuff in the middle is just busy work. So why are they doing that? Is that just to, again, grow the government for having more staff so each one of those department heads can have more people under them so they can require or ask for or demand more money? Is that what it's all about?
And those people who are doing these studies and passing it on, we don't even elect them.
Right.
I don't even know who those people are. Bureaucrats. I have no control over them.
Right.
And our Board of Supervisors doesn't seem to have control over them either. And that comes to another problem I have with the consent calendar. We're talking about the budget and we're talking about expenditures of money. We never get a chance to discuss those. They come up on the consent calendar and the supervisors say, oh, yes, I approve that. I say yes on the consent calendar, and it just gets shuffled off. And if you start looking at that consent calendar, that's the whole meat and potatoes of what's going on in the county, and we never get a chance to participate.
And they put more and more into it.
Yes.
Instead of it being a very specific or slight list of tasks or issues, it's the bulk of it.
And that leads me to another thing. Peggy Hall in Orange County,
mm-hmm.
They're really trying to get away with a fast one by saying that you can't speak individually. You can only speak as a representative of a group. Apparently, people were just trying to tell their Board of Supervisors too much information, taking up too much time. So they said, well, you have to get together as a group and then have one person speak for you at the supervisors meeting.
Wrong.
Is this a violation of the Brown Act or what? Yeah.
So when they meet outside of the the board meeting, is that how they do it?
No, I don't.
Because you know they're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's obvious. It's evident. I mean, since I've been participating in board meetings for years, just going to them out of curiosity more than anything, I saw that. And, you know, the Brown Act is taught when you're in FFA and 4-H in high school. The kids learn about that stuff if they're truly being taught through 4-H and FFA like they were when I was a kid. We learned about the Brown Act. We learned about Robert's Rules of Order. We learned about all these things of what to do, what not to do, and the purpose behind them. And the purpose behind it was to protect the people, to protect the integrity of the meetings that you're running and the board that you serve on. So we learned about those things when I was a kid. And so, I don't know, are they learning those anymore? Probably not.
Unless they're learning it in FFA and 4-H, I don't know why they would be learning it in school.
Right.
Because they're probably learning too much critical race theory in school.
In civics, they should be teaching these things, if they even have civics any longer.
The 1619 project, rather than history. It's very sad.
It is very sad.
However, take a step back and start looking at what's going on. In Shasta County, we are having a really dirty fight.
We are.
Over our Board of Supervisors. It's a fight that has to happen, and I don't care who comes forward and who makes it dirty. it has to happen. When I clean my toilet, I've got to get down there and scrub. And it isn't a fun job, and it isn't the cleanest job, but by the time you're finished with the cleanser and the sponge and the scrubbing, it's clean.
It's done.
And that's what we need to do in our county. We need to clean the toilet because it has gone far too long with accumulating crud.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You know, that analogy is great because it doesn't go to the swamp. A swamp is a good thing. It goes to the sewer is what it is.
Exactly.
And so we need to clean the sewer. We need to get this cleaned out because anybody that lives rural that has a septic tank, you know you have to maintain those things.
That's right.
If you abuse it, guess what? You're not going to be able to use it.
And if you ignore it, it is going to get worse.
It's going to get worse.
And here we are.
And
we have ignored it for too long.
So septic tank cleaning, here we come.
Yeah. But we have Peggy Hall in Orange County fighting their Board of Supervisors. We have people throughout the state. There's a local man in San Diego is suing the county to stop its order mandating that residents wear facial coverings. We have people standing up and saying enough.
Enough.
We have actually, LaMalfa is our representative in Congress is trying to shut down the high speed rail system project.
That's a boondoggle and waste of money, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. you think? Yeah. It'll never get built. They're just pouring more and more money into it for the Pelosi's and the Feinsteins to fatten their coffers.
Yep.
But people are beginning to fight back, and I love to see that at the state level, at the county levels.
Now, what if all that same money, you know, go into the high-speed rail, what if all that money was put to good, positive use? You know, I mean, maybe the highways, the freeways, whatever, the interstate itself, just the interstate alone.
Infrastructure, which Administrator Biden has now told us includes free college. That's infrastructure.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, whatever you want, it's infrastructure. I suppose that Mary Rickert would say that homes for the homeless is infrastructure. If nothing else, the money from the high-speed rail should be returned to the people.
Absolutely.
Don't just try to think of some way to spend it.
Right.
Give it back. Yeah.
Well, you know, stop taxing us. I mean, let's start there. Stop with property tax. Stop with income tax. There are states that don't have income tax, folks. Remember that. Florida is one of them.
Yep.
Florida, you know, DeSantis is down there making that state, you know, better and better every day.
But nobody wants to move to Florida.
Nobody wants to move
Poor
to Florida.
Poor Florida. They're just losing population because they're so awful.
Yeah, their growth is going like crazy.
Yeah.
But I personally couldn't live there because of the humidity. It's just like, no, when I get hot, I can't handle the humidity factor. It's bad enough just handling the heat.
Well, I have always said that I want to move to the state of Jefferson, and that way I won't even have to pack up and leave.
That's right. You can stay in your own home.
Stay right where I am and just become Jefferson.
And that's what we're trying to do, too, on top of all this other stuff that seems to be derailing everything that's going on everywhere. It derails everything we're doing. So we just need to play the game and move forward. You make it happen.
And I think that everything that we're doing, every hit we take over the recall, it's a step forward.
Absolutely.
We cannot end up worse off than where we started.
That's right. And I think that, too, that the more we talk about this, the more people that get engaged and they start hearing things, they start understanding, and we'll just open up with dialogue, whereas before it was just a few people that were, you know, screaming from the rooftops, this is happening, and people, oh, yeah, tinfoil hat, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Those hats fit very nicely on all of us. They're one size fits all.
All.
And so how many of those tinfoil hats are out there now, folks? You know, we are all... we have to be willing participants in our own life. And we have to be willing participants to make things happen for ourselves personally, which is going to affect our neighbors. We have to do that. And if you're not willing to do that, then get out of the way and keep quiet.
I think for too long people have just said, somebody else will do it. I'm busy.
Yes.
I don't know how to do that. Someone else will take care of it. Well, this is it. You are the someone else.
That's right.
And if you look at the people who have picked up that baton and are running their leg of the race. They're not special people. They don't have special training.
No.
They haven't gone to school to learn how to be a rabble-rouser in county government. They just had enough.
They're doing it from the school of hard knocks.
And they, yes, and they look at their children and they say, it doesn't matter what I do, I have to make it better for my kids.
For my kids and my grandkids and all the future. Yep. So we need to make sure this happens so that we don't leave the bad taste in their mouth. We don't leave them garbage to deal with when we're gone.
Right.
And that's my whole reason for doing this, is I want it done on my watch so my kids don't have to do it. Or at the very least, they carry the baton and they're heading for the finish line for success. So we can make it happen. We can get going and we'll do it.
If not for us, who's going to?
That's right. All right. We're going to go off to our break and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you, Janet.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Like a little sax, huh?
Like that one.
That is the California Honey Drops, one of my favorite bands that's new.
That's awesome. That was good.
That's a cover of Don't Let the Green Grass Fool You.
Awesome.
Go check them out, people.
All right. Great job there, Travis. I like that. I love saxophones. That was so good. Okay, we have a caller on the line, right? We have Dick on the line. Good morning, Dick. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Thank
you. It was a great crowd last night, right?
Yes, you brought your beautiful bride. She was out there keeping you under control. I can see that.
Well, she can try. She can try. Anyway, you know, I've been out collecting signatures for the recall, and one thought I've had, which would help a lot of, there's a lot of people you talk to are kind of wishy-washy. They're not sure one way or the other. Well, one thing you could tell them is that, you know, anywhere from when you're an elected official, anywhere from the president all down to a school board member of a local grammar school, when you ever think of an elected official, equate them to a dirty diaper. They all need to be changed quite frequently.
And for the same reasons, right?
Yeah, that's my comment.
All right, Dick, thank you. Now, Dick is almost 90 years old, and he's out collecting signatures.
Yeah, what's your excuse?
What's the rest of the world doing here? Come on, he's out there doing that. He does his neighborhood. He knows a lot of people. He's known a lot of people for a long time, but he's out there collecting signatures and doing his part because he believes in what we're doing. He believes in the process, and he was in Korea. He fought for the process. So guess what, folks? Absolutely zero excuses.
And the point is, it is a legal process. We're not doing something shady. We're not trying to sneak around and get people out of office by doing illegal things. This is a legal process. It's in our system. Why are they fighting it so much? Why wouldn't they just say, hey, we will present our side, you present your side, and let the voters decide? And it's the same thing at the state level. Gavin Newsom is pulling every shady deal he can to stop that recall or to at least hinder it. I think, what did they have? He presented it so that people could actually rescind their signatures on the recall.
Right.
And they got something like 45 retractions out of millions and millions of signatures. Just let the process work its way through.
There you go.
If you don't have anything to be afraid of, if you are proud of the job that you have done, if you think you have a lot of supporters who will not want you to be recalled, then get them out there to fight for you. But what's going on now, it's just dirty. They're trying to stop the process instead of work with the process. Why do we have investigators from the district attorney's office investigating a legal process? Do they have nothing else to do with their time? I have listened to Stephanie Bridget, and she always talks about how understaffed they are and how they have to have a lot of cases that they can't take to trial. They have to just negotiate a close to the cases because they don't have enough manpower. But you have investigators out talking to Alyssa McEwen, out talking to Ronin. Why?
Right.
Why? And they say, well, we're going to make sure that this is done legally. Well, you've got the elections board right there making sure everything's done legally. What business is this of the district attorney?
Well, and but the process that the team had to go through, the recall Shasta team had to go through to get to the point of getting it to get the petitions and everything else, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, /S/,
yeah,
all that stuff. How in the world could the DA's office think that this was not done properly?
Right.
It's being vetted by their own.
They even noted the notices of intent to make sure that those were done right. Well, the election people, that's their job.
They made sure
it was done right. If the district attorney's office thinks there's something illegal going on, why don't they say this is what we think is illegal instead of just out on a witch hunt? That's what it looks like.
It does. And the perception for the people, don't forget the DA is an elected official.
Yes.
Don't forget that, people. Just because they're doing what they say they think they need to be doing, which is not true, they're being pressured. So when is all is said and done, and we have three new board members in there, what kind of pressure do you think the DA is going to feel when they're held to account in public, in a public meeting, for their actions of this nature?
That's correct.
And they're going to be brought forward. They're going to have to speak to it. They're not going to be able to write a letter. They're not going to be able to have somebody else come in and voice it for them on their behalf. They're going to have to stand before the Board of Supervisors and the citizens who were in the room and watching on their computers, however you want to look at it. They're going to have to stand before the community and answer for their actions.
And that is the one thing that has not been happening, and that's that public accountability.
That's right.
They have been hiding behind their offices, but they should understand that if you have to stand for an election, you are subject to the term limits of the people.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, how far does this swamp, well,
the sewer.
How far does it go through the community? I mean, we're just seeing it. We're just scratching the surface, folks.
And look at Red, White, and Blueprint. I love
yes.
it. They're beginning to dig holes. And, man, every time they dig a hole, something comes bubbling back out.
Yep.
And it isn't pretty, and it smells awful.
And the thing is, but it's great exposure.
That's right.
All right, we have another call in. Hey, Rich, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning, everybody. Man, the swampiness, my gosh.
No, sewer.
Oh, you're right. I know. But, you know, that's not the nomenclature that the general public uses. They use swamp. Anyways, I agree. Hey, here's the deal. You notice when the local news, the local fake news, said district attorney is completed with its investigation, has forwarded to the Secretary of State.
Yes.
The uninformed reader says, ooh, it went from the county to the state. Must be bad. No, here's the point, folks. The DA was doing a criminal investigation, found nothing or found something that she was not willing to pursue, and sent it to an administrative agency. So it, in fact, was a downgraded investigation. So that was actually a win for us.
So it went from
recall supporters.
So, Rich, it went from criminal to administrative? Is that what it did?
Yes.
So that means it's just...
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, and if Secretary of State continues the investigation and somehow, doubtful, that they find something criminal, guess who it comes back to for prosecution?
The county clerk.
DA. Comes back to our very same DA who found nothing worthy of prosecution. This is a dead end, folks.
So then how do we get this information out there once we find it? There's got to be some kind of paper trail that the SOS is going to, Secretary of State's going to send back to the DA, and that's got to be all public information that we're going to be able to get and sink our teeth into, correct?
Well, once the investigation is formally closed, yes, we should have access to those documents, absolutely. But they won't give it to us while it's open. Hey, this whole sheriff thing that's going on?
Yes.
More sewer action. This is ridiculous. And I hope people, including me, I'll be there Tuesday. Yes, that 2018 law that allows Board of Supervisors to appoint a sheriff replacement. I'm looking for that law on my computer. Can't find it. But last time I read it, it says the Board of Supervisors shall appoint a sheriff. Here's the key. I do not remember in that law that it says they shall appoint a permanent sheriff.
Uh-huh.
That was not in there. I'm trying to find it again before Tuesday, but I'm going to impress upon this board, no, you shall appoint a temporary sheriff, because that's what I want. And, oh, by the way, did you know there's a special election coming up, board? Yeah, I think you do. So how about we throw in a sheriff's election in with that special election so we can pick a sheriff? How's that?
Well, then that's the thing, too. So McGreeny was hired in under Basinko's balance of his term. So now, did he finish that term? Did McGreeny finish the term for Basinko?
No, because there hasn't been an election.
So therefore, now this new sheriff is going to finish that election, that term. So essentially, he's going to have to run in 2021 for 2022, correct?
He's going to have to run in 2022.
That's right, 2022.
Yeah, we need to impress on the board to do a temporary appointment.
Right.
And when that special election for the board comes up, which will happen, then we throw the sheriff in, and we'll elect our sheriff then.
Right. I agree. We need to have the process. The process needs to work. We know we're going to have a governor recall. We know that. So we're going to have a board of supervisor recall. We know that. So therefore, why not piggyback all four of our elections until we get more. If there are more coming, we'll just keep on adding them on to the special election for the governor. And that won't cost us any more to do that than it would have at any other time.
Well, governor election aside, And we're going to have a board recall election, so we'll just throw the sheriff on there.
Absolutely.
The other point I have, gosh darn it, I'm outside, I guess, got diverted. I had another point, I lost it at the moment. But
squirrel.
Anyways, I'll put it in the chat if I think about it. But anyways, we'll talk to y'all later.
All right, thank you, Rich.
And there is the big question. Why would McGreeny leave the sheriff's office for another county position? What's the advantage?
And what's his qualification for the other county position?
Exactly.
Because we know that the person that he's replacing didn't have qualifications for it. And she was there. She was a placeholder. This is evident. She was hired in as a placeholder for that position so he could get hired into that position. If you just work backwards from just recently on the announcement of him stepping down and going to the CAO's office as the assistant CEO, CAO, you look at it and you just kind of follow the paper trail backwards. You see that this was all done in tandem. It was a plan. So is Pontes complicit in all this?
You know, it may be completely above board. It may make perfect sense, but they would be obligated to explain to us how it makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
But on the face of it, the optics are sewerage.
Yes, yes. So that's why we ask the questions, folks, but nobody seems to want to give an answer.
I was very surprised that McGreeny didn't say that he was shifting positions so he could spend more time with his family. Isn't that the usual?
That's usually what it is. Yeah, it's like, oh, I've done my time. I'm done. I'm
ready to
move on.
I need to spend more time with my family now. There's no reason. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Is this, again, to add to his retirement package? Is that why he's shifting?
Well, of course it is, because he's going to make a boatload more as the assistant CEO than he does as the sheriff.
Well, there it is.
So, you know, you have to wonder, okay, how is this all working? So they're doing it in the county like they did in City of Reading.
Right.
Same kind of thing. Okay, let's just shift gears and make this happen.
Let's make sure Modi has enough money to buy beans and rice for the table.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it gets your little brain cells moving. So, folks, these are the kind of things that you have to ask. You have to be thinking about. Think outside the box. Do not use the box. They want you in the box. They actually want you in the boxcar going to to your dispensary. But this is the thing you have to do. Think outside the box. Ask the questions. And we're not asking bad questions. We're just asking questions in general, which opens up dialogue, which gets people thinking like, well, maybe we're not wrong. Or maybe this is too far-fetched. But you don't know until you start having dialogue.
And you have the right to ask the questions, and they have an obligation to give you a decent answer.
That's right.
And if you want to call me a conspiracy analyst, go right ahead. That's my job.
We're analyzing.
That's
I like
right.
that. There's no theory in it. It's all analysts.
Theory. Analyzing what
analyzing
you're telling
it.
Me.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. That's too funny.
I get very disgusted with them at the county, state level, whatever. They think we're so stupid.
I know.
They think that all they have to do is come up with some lame explanation and we'll just buy it. And in the past, they've been right.
Yes, have been.
We've just gone along with it without any question. Well, it doesn't sound right to me, but I'm not going to do anything about it.
It doesn't affect me. Yes,
yeah,
it does.
It does.
Everything affects you. The taxes. If you're a consumer of any product here in this county, it affects you.
That's right.
Anything. If you go buy gas, it affects you big time. If you're going to go buy a car, if you're going to go buy clothing, you're going to go buy food in this county, it affects you. You have a vested interest in your government. You have a vested interest in it. So get out there and learn it. And it can be frustrating. It can be maddening. It can bring you to tears sometimes on certain things. Like, how do we fight this? So, you know, don't get all riled up and start name calling and everything else. Let that passion drive you to learn about what you need to learn.
Yes.
Learn it. Understand it. Have dialogue and be civil about it. Have good, open dialogue with people. Be patient. Be tolerant. Get dialogue going so then you can figure out how to fire on all cylinders when you're going through this process, because it can be daunting. It can be consuming. I know that on some things, every once in a while, you're just like, okay, how's this going to work? And then all of a sudden, all you're doing is thinking about that. It's like, okay, you got to step away from it. But then when you do step away from it, things start making sense because you have so many things that are, you know, floating around in your mind of what you've heard, what you've talked to people about. And be careful of who you talk to, too. I mean, we've got some whack jobs out there. It's clear we have some whack jobs
out
there.
Their hearts may be in the right place, but they don't always take the same route that we do. Yes. And I think, too, that the biggest advantage to what's going on now is that we have put our county employees on notice that we're no longer accepting what they audition up for us.
Yeah, and when you're saying county employees, just remind people, too, they're employees of ours because they're elected by us. We elect them into those positions, and I'm speaking for the elected officials. They are the employee of the sovereign citizens of our county.
That's right.
We voted them into those positions, like it or not. They got those positions, whether you voted for them or not. Or if you voted against them, you know, there are others that voted for them. So they are elected. So we let the process work its way through. And so this is part of the process, too, as far as, you know, coming to the government and telling them we're done. We're going to move forward and we're going to do something different and address your grievances. That's what we're doing. We're redressing our grievances here.
As we have every right to do. And you brought up another point. We have elected them. And now the whole electoral process has been brought into doubt. Did we really elect those people?
Right.
Did they really win? Were those machines set up accurately? Can we trust them? Can we trust the vote numbers? And that's a terrible place for a republic to be when you can't even trust the electoral process.
Right. And you're absolutely right on that. The other thing, too, is then when we have people that are in elected positions that are running unopposed.
That
just kills me every time. It's like, oh my gosh, if I'd have known, I'd have run. You know, those kind of things. Like, you just think that way. It's like, oh my gosh, if I'd have known that this was going to be like this. And, you know, I think that was a wake-up call for a lot of people.
Yep.
You go through the process, and that does affect you. If somebody's running unopposed and you don't like what they're doing, guess what? It's your turn.
And Mary Rickert made the comment in 2016 that she and her husband decided how much money it would take to defeat Pam Giacomini, who was the incumbent at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how much they put into the campaign, was the amount they thought it would take to defeat Pam Giacomini. That is a terrible thing for our country when you win based on how much money you're able to dump into a contest.
Well, yeah, when you're more than a multimillionaire, as she is, she can spend all of us into the ground.
And she did.
And she did. I mean, if you remember that campaign, her signs were on I-5 down coming from Tehama County going north on I-5. They were on 299 from the west going east.
and radio
everywhere.
Ads, TV ads, newspaper ads. And I that's fine if you have the money and you have the heart and soul to represent people well, then you deserve to win and do a good job. No problem. But it's sad that it all comes down to dollars.
Well, and then, too, what's the driving force on, for her in particular, what's the driving force? Why would she spend, what, $160,000 on a campaign that's going to pay her, you know, if as she wins and she becomes a board supervisor, she wins, what, maybe $32,000 a year, wins. I mean, she gets paid $32,000 stipend a year. How does that never pays back.
No.
So what's the payback for her to run and to spend that kind of money to win that position? What is the payback?
I know she said that her goal was to provide mental health and homeless services. Well, shoot, she could have just taken that money and donated it to the cause. I don't know.
I agree, you know, with a lot less headaches.
Yeah, but she also said that her hobby was being on boards.
Nice hobby if you can afford it.
That's right. So she serves on a lot of boards, and I'm sure that that Mary Rickert, along with a lot of other people, see that as their civic duty, and they are trying to give back to the community by providing their time and their energy and resources. But part of that energy and resources are supposed to be spent in representing the people and protecting them against the incursion of government from the state and federal levels. That's their primary job. Nobody elects them to provide houses for the homeless and mental health facilities. That's not why she got elected. So I applaud her lofty goals, but she forgot her true calling, and that was to provide for the people and their rights.
Amen. Very well said. It's scary to think that she's not the only one doing that.
Right, and I'm at least assuming that she had her heart in the right place. I can't say as much for maybe one or two of the other supervisors that we are recalling. I don't think their heart is in the right place.
Well, they have to have one first.
Yes.
It's so frustrating when you see the actions and the disdain. You're sitting there in a public board meeting, and whether they're on camera because they're home doing what they're doing, or they're actually physically there behind the plexiglass, and the disdain that they project to the citizenry, it just...
And we're talking about Leonard Modi, and there's no sense in going around it. We all have seen, have observed. I mean, there's no interpretation of what he has done. Mm-hmm. He has shown his disregard for the people in many ways, many times.
Yeah. Well, another thing, too, that I just now thought about. One of our great patriots was called something by Mary Rickert at one point. Mary Rickert's talking about the mental health, but then she labeled one of our very astute, very brilliant young ladies as crazy.
Crazy, and that's on video and
it's recorded,
audio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, you can't have it both ways. If you're trying to get money for crazy people, and then you call one of the people out there crazy.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
It's like, are you kidding?
As so often happens, these people are under pressure and they're getting frustrated at not being able to control the situation and having people say, we don't like what you're doing. And as so often happens, then they begin to eat their own.
Right.
They begin to attack each other out of their frustration.
Well, yeah, and
now
the profanity,
we have
least.
Mary Rickert calling another supervisor or referring to another supervisor in an undignified term.
Yes.
But it just shows how dirty the whole thing is getting.
Right, and they can't handle the pressure.
They can't.
And that's the thing, too. You know, I mean, if you're going to be in one of these positions, unfortunately, you have to handle the pressure.
Yep.
And it's part of the process. So you have to know that it's not going to be anything personal. It's on your professional attack, I would hope, because if you're doing something and saying things that are supposed to be in a professional manner, I would hope that you're not going to be attacked personally. But it kind of goes together, and the citizenry see it as personal because they're affected personally.
That's right.
So they're going to attack you personally. So, you know, you can't escape it. It's just going to happen. And it's unfortunate, but that's part of the process. And if you were doing the right thing and you stood for the right thing and you said the right thing and your actions reflected what you were saying and doing, you know, if all that came together and you were doing all the good stuff the right way, being moral and ethical about it, you would have nothing to worry about.
This whole thing could have been avoided many months ago if the board had said, you are right. You have the absolute right to meet in the boardroom. We have the absolute obligation to confront you and be there for you to express your concerns to us.
Right.
You are absolutely correct. We do not have to follow the dictates of a mad governor who has gone off the rails. We are going to honor and protect our people against this governor. That's all they had to do.
But they were worried about the money they were going to get from the governor. Yep. That's the only thing. We're from Sacramento. That's the only thing they were worried about. More money. It's all about the greenbacks. That's all they're worried about. Because they're getting these programs that are mandated through the state where they get the money, and then they have to come up with money to partner with that money here in Shasta County to keep those programs going.
It's called listening to your constituents, listening to your employers, and they refused to do that from the beginning. They took a hard stance. They dug their heels in. They turned their backs and said, don't talk to us.
Right.
We don't care what you have to say. We're doing our job by getting you more money.
There you go.
And no matter what we said, that was their stance. And that's what led to the recall, because they didn't listen to the people.
Amen.
And they still don't get it.
They still don't get it.
Yeah.
That's so maddening. I'm just not getting it. I don't understand. You just want to slap them upside the head. Just like, come on, think about it. You know, I mean, we can see it from the audience. We can see it from our homes by watching it.
We have this poster here. Why we are recalling you.
Yes.
You know, a betrayal of public trust. It's so simple.
Yes.
They didn't uphold the Constitution.
That's right.
But we got you money. Okay, well, that's called recall time.
Yep. Amen. Well, I'm saddened because we have to do this, but I'd rather do it on my watch than having to force my kids deal with this issue.
We have called Roto Rooter, and he is going to dig the roots out of our system.
Clear the line.
He is going to empty the septic tank, because it's time.
Yeah.
And we cannot function any longer until we have cleaned out the sewer.
Amen.
Well, Janet, thank you for coming in today.
My pleasure.
Hanging out with us. It's always a pleasure to have you here. I appreciate it. All right, folks, the time has come for 51.
Boy, right down.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.